Welcome to another episode of Banking on Information. Today, my guest is Christoph Stegmeier, who is senior partner at Simon Kucher in the financial services practice. Welcome, Christoph, to the podcast.
Pleasure to be here.
Now, we always start with that very important question, so I'll have it for you too. Why, Christoph, do you do what you do?
Yeah, I have to go back in time. I'm now 25 years in the industry. I started back in the start of the century in consulting, and actually in a small German office back then. Worked quite internationally since, but quite early in the career in Germany, we had a few banks that were called online banks back in the day, spin-offs from larger banks particularly. And those banks started to make a splash in the market. They started to grow, the likes of ING Direct, the likes of DKB in Germany, that was growing very quickly back in the day. And as always, as a consultant, usually through a project, you get closer to that industry. And I started following sort of what can you do in the banking world without having branches. That took many, many years. It was growing, but it wasn't fastest growing. But then mid of the last decade, when the neobank started, I kind of remembered, oh, maybe that's the big breakthrough for online and digital banks. And I've actually ever since followed the neobanks from when the first ones were launched. Tiny banks back in the days, actually, although the first wave didn't really survive, but then pretty soon the Revoluts, the new banks, this world. That's my playground. Why do I do what I do? Because I find it fascinating that in an industry like banking, where you have hundreds of years of tradition, we are now at a turning point that I believe a lot of the old names will really have difficulties in a world that's becoming more and more digital. And all the new banks, the neobanks growing so quickly. So that's my passion for neobanks, my passion for digital. And that's really where I focus most of my work on.
So you like to be an innovator, you like to be doing the new thing, and that you pointed that towards neobanks and online banks. That is very interesting. Now, talk a little bit more about what you do at Simon Kucher.
So as a consultant, you like to be innovative. You obviously can help your clients being innovative, and that's what I'm trying to do. I work across the financial service industry, but I work both with traditional players and the neobanks of this world. The work, as can be imagined, is quite different. So when working with a neobank, it's mostly around how do you grow profitably and how do you grow quicker in a world where literally growth is the number one KPI. And in the traditional banks, we actually try to use some of the learnings from the neobanks and getting those banks more agile. So I would call it unlocking the inner unicorn of those traditional banks. There's a number of things that we've learned what the neobanks do differently. And when I say neobanks, it really applies to fintechs, it applies to insurtechs. There's a few concepts they are doing well that we're trying to help the traditional banks adapt to as well. Things like growth hacking, things like applying gamification, things like just think about the subscription models that are very popular now in neobanks and other industries, but they're not very popular still in the traditional banks. And how do we help the traditional banks in learning to apply these? They have some comparisons, and I say, for those of you familiar with Duolingo, being in my view probably the company that's applying gamification best in the market. If you've started to have a streak on learning languages, I'm still missing the Duolingo of banking, where gamification is really applied to a level that it defines kind of what the banking relationship is with the client. We call it the Netflix of banking when it comes to subscription models. You can think of the Amazon of banking when it comes to growth hacking. Many of these concepts are things that in my daily work, I'll try to help financial institutions with growing and adapting and unlocking that inner unicorn.
So you help new banks grow and existing banks catch up with those new banks that are growing.
Yeah, I know. It's a bit I'm playing on both sides in this one, but because they're running on different speeds and different velocities. But essentially, that's the world you describe it well, Roger.
I think they both need different things. And I think you're very capable with your experience to provide them both. Now, what do they tell you how they get value from working with you?
So I want to differentiate between those young, fast-growing players. They have a few KPIs. Many of those they can manage really well themselves. But there's a few of those, particularly when it comes to monetization and how do you flip from fast growth to profitable growth. That has been, for those following the neobanks, that has been an issue for many years. It seems to be more and more resolved by many of the players, but we are helping them in the work that I do in monetizing growth better. And think of it, if you're thinking of the Revoluts of this world, they're launching a lot of new products, but it's not just Revolut. I'm just using that as an example. And then as you increase your product shelf very quickly, you'll have to think about things like how to bundle these products, how do you potentially grow into new segments, how do you change the way of how you're selling the proposition. And this is really meant of increasing the value for the customers and then charging a fair price for that. So profitable growth is the value that hopefully we bring to many of these fresh players. And then on the traditional players, it's much more diversified. So with some of the players, it's much more on still growth. Some of those, it's profitability. And some of those, it's really a mix of the two. There's a lot of innovation involved, again, when you're teaching or trying to help large institutions of taking ideas from the world of neobanking. You're very close to helping establish a sort of new products, innovative products. I'll give an example with one of the banks. One of the projects I've recently done was around launching a new, let's call it, wealth super app within a large organization. The whole world speaks about the Robin Hoods in the Americas or the trade republics in Europe, scalables and so on. And sort of how do you build something within a large institution? Probably a good example of the innovation that I'm trying to bring to these institutions.
Oh, so you're helping with profitable growth on both sides, but also help with innovation with the traditional banks. And I think that is very valuable. Now, I like to do this thing called futures thinking. So we don't know what the future holds, but we can think about possible futures. So I'd love for you to think 10 years out, so 2035. What do you see the future look like for financial services?
Yeah, you know, this is a challenging question. I don't even know how the future will look like in 10 months in these turbulent times. But joking aside, obviously, the speed of change is just amazing that we're seeing right now. Involved in several AI use case development projects at the time being. And to be very honest, sort of none of those, I think, would have been done 12 months ago. So a lot of new thinking is happening. AI for me, and this is no surprise, will be the biggest driver of change. So the 2035 bank will look different a lot because of AI. I think the AI will have some obvious use cases that are already being present on fraud management, risk management, chatbots, etc. But I think the main driver, and that's where we're going to see a very different world in 10 years, will be personalization, and AI will be used for that. I think there are other trends that will shape the future, like embedded finance. We'll see a continuous trend. I don't think there's going to be a spike now, but it's going to be over the next 10 years growing. There will be much more linkage, much more conversion between banking and non-banking world. And back to the point, the initial point of my passion, I do believe that in 10 years, the largest financial institutions on the planet will be digital players. We're already seeing that they're growing faster than the traditional ones. There might be a bit of an overlap, sort of some digital players starting something a bit physical. We'll see probably a few brands disappear over the next 10 years that stay too traditional, and we'll see the digital players growing. And my prediction is we'll have probably 5 to 10 large global digital players that will be at the forefront of banking. And my suspicion will be that probably per country, we might have one or two additional local players, and then in addition to the traditional banks.
Okay, so the world is all digital for you. That's what you see 10 years out. Everything will be digital, or at least the surviving banks, the major banks, the global players will all be digital players.
But it's exactly that mix of digital and personalized. We already see that now. If digital is applied well, it is a very personalized experience. And the more personalized, the less people will lose or will miss the physical presence of banks.
Yeah. So hyper-personalized digital. Now, if that future is going to become reality, what can we do today to get ready for that?
I believe there has to be a sense of urgency and a sense of change in banks. I do see too many organizations that are sticking too much to just continue doing what they've been doing. Like the concept of growth hacking in a way that it describes, how do you test more things? How do you try out more things? How do you track those? How do you scale those? That's not something that should be done only by the digital players. Every bank, every financial institution should be more agile in that way. Some of those will have to change their organization, and we help some of the organizations doing that. Some of those will obviously have to do a lot around AI in order to leapfrog others and have a step change in their processes. Things that we're seeing are really big in demand at the moment, and a lot of the work we do is in that space. But very simply speaking, I think a lot of banks have to wake up and have to do things very differently. And my way of doing that would be try out many, many more things than today, and then have this fast failure culture of they don't work, try something else, but you have to have a capability in place to do that. And I don't see that with many other banks.
So do growth hacking, try things, get ready for that future that is going to be very different from where we are today. I think that's probably a great point to wrap this up on. Thank you very much, Christoph, for being on the podcast.
Thank you, Rutger. It was a pleasure.
And until next time, choose to be curious.